welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, right, hello, welcome to episode 301 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and me, good pal Sean Orford. Who's touching that cable? Don't touch that wire, Sean.
Don't touch that cable.
But then, actually, want it to all go
wrong.
Wrong.
You nearly said a rude word.
I nearly did a rude word.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, I'm just a bit loud. That. Can you turn the gain down a bit on your side?
Can I turn the gain down?
Wherever it is.
How's that?
Oh no, sorry, I've got it here. I've got it. That's cool. That's better.
You're better.
Don't want to be too loud in people's ears when you are listening to this.
I don't know.
In your earpods, we do care about the health of our listeners' ears.
Is it possible to be too loud?
We're talking about what is 301? I've forgotten.
What's 301?
Oh, Barnum effect, Peter.
You forgot. You're not good this morning, are you? It's Alzheimer's has hit early today.
No, it's an overload and brain overload. I've got a launch tomorrow of my new business.
Yeah.
Claremont Farm, so my head is all over the place with that stuff and this stuff, and I've got a few websites on the go, and I've got kids to get to school, so.
It's a hard one.
I need therapy. You've only had a decent therapist sat near me.
Yeah,
to help me through.
Yeah, to see when we could find one somewhere.
It's time for Ed's free weekly therapy session.
I don't know whether I'm going to be able to make it to your thing tomorrow. You didn't give me enough notice. I've got too many clinics booked in.
Yeah. Ditch them. I'll bring them along. Yeah,
bring them along. Yeah, that'd be therapy.
There will be an element of mental health discussed during this.
Yeah. Hour. Depends whether I finish in time. If I finish in time, I'll be there with you.
Rattle through it. I'm sure their problems aren't that big.
Yeah, get out of here. I need to go and see Ed. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the Barnum effect today and how we can be quite easily duped, if that's the word, suckered in to believing anything. Anyway, so we'll talk about it shortly. Live in the present.
Where did that come from?
Twins. I wrote that in. We'll come to that shortly. Twins. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Do sign up to the email list to get alerts for this show. Discount code for the book. Possibly discount code for a new book, which is due shortly. What's the title of it again? Are you allowed to say? Or not? Is that not ready?
Of the book. Mm. The book is called Out of the Blue.
Cool.
Out of the Blue.
Nice. I'm thinking of... Can I do the cover for it?
Yeah. Out of the Blue.
Exciting, man.
My next job would be to record it so that the audio book is there. So ebook, audio book. And I don't know about paper books anymore. Do we need to be
I think we can do it print on demand.
Like short run.
Print on demand. So basically, if you do it through Amazon, it's basically as people order it, it's printed and sent. So we don't have to keep a big box of them under the stairs or anything like that.
Yeah,
that's probably the route I will take.
I wonder what the ratio is at the moment of e-books and audiobooks to print books.
I wonder. I mean, I think print bookshops are having a bit of a comeback and a revival.
Yeah. I know lots of people would say to me they want to hold the book. They want to be able to feel it.
I do. I haven't read an e-book in a while. I do prefer the paperback and then stash it on a shelf for the next 60 years, hopefully.
I literally have hundreds and hundreds of books.
I'm reading.
And
go on, sir.
It's like, do I get rid of them? Because the books I haven't read for ages, but there's something about a book that it feels like sacrilege.
I know. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm reading through The Hobbit with Will.
At the
moment, and it's amazing. You know, every other night when it's my turn to put him to bed, going through the book, just a few pages at a time. But it's my dad's copy of the book, so it's. 50 years old, I think, probably.
Did he have it when he was a kid, then?
Yeah. I fold the pages in the corner to mark where we're up to and put it in, but there are these other folds in the book at certain pages, and William keeps going, hey, look, Grandpa must have read and stopped at this page.
Yeah.
So there's these weird little stories, like 40, 50 years ago, my dad was reading the very same book.
Yeah.
Folding it at that point.
My mother used to read The Hobbit every year, herself, just to herself.
Wow.
And it was one of her traditions that she did.
It's a beautiful little story, man. Really cool. Books, what we're talking about. Yeah, go to our website. Sean's got a new book coming, so sign up to the mailing list.
Yeah.
And stop touching that wire, man.
It's going to change your life.
We're talking about anger next week.
Okay.
Right. Oh yeah, what have you been up to? Twunt? What's that? Why have I written twunt? Are we even allowed to say it?
I don't know whether we should actually be saying this on air.
It's a combination of two words.
Yeah. I had someone that I was talking to, and they described someone in their life who angered them as a twunt. And I said, what's a twunt? And they explained to me that it was two words put together. I will say no more than that.
I'm sure our listeners can figure it out. Yeah. Twunt, what the two words might be, but that's...
I was thinking about it after, because you and I were talking about it, but I was thinking about it in terms of that must be how language develops.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That people find words to express something.
Mm.
You know.
So there's a little workaround in the rule here. So it's a swear word without swearing, but maybe...
But does that mean over time it does become a swear word?
Mm. Maybe it will become the ultimate swear word.
I mean,
it's quite a concoction of two horrible words.
That but the C word that it refers to originally was an old, I think it was an Anglo-Saxon word that actually just meant a hole.
Hmm.
So if you were digging a hole,
oh right, bloody hell,
that's where it originally came from, I think.
I was watching the movie The Favourite. Olivia Colman won the Oscar for it the other.
Yeah.
I watched it the other week, and that's got some very good uses of that C word. Mm. You know, it's obviously a very impactful word, but when used correctly and with a bit of comedy chucked in there, I think it's a decent word to throw in. But anyway.
But is that like offences in the eye of the beholder?
Definitely. Yeah. Although some people obviously would, quite right, perhaps not abide any use of that word. But let's not talk about that word, not to say that for another episode about offence or something.
Yeah.
Thanks for the sourdough, by the way. I know you.
Oh, right.
You did the sourdough.
Did you enjoy it?
Very much so. Yeah, we had it that next evening with some dinner. It's gorgeous.
I that was one that I experimented with some different kind of salt in it.
Mm.
I don't know whether you could taste the salt.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
Will tried it. He thought it was a bit weird. He's used to his basic bread, but
But I'm experimenting at the moment with different kind of flours and different salts and things like that to get it going.
Marvellous. All right, cool. So why are we talking about the Barnum Effect? You sent me a link, didn't you?
It's
a little...
If you think about the Barnum Effect generally, and it's so topical because it does work into things like the Brexit stuff as well.
Thing. You had to mention it.
I've got to mention it.
Shall I explain what the Barnum Effect is first? Because I didn't know.
Okay.
I mean, I'd heard of P.T. Barnum, but anyway. The Barnum Effect, also called the Fora Effect, is a common psychological phenomenon whereby individuals give high accuracy ratings to descriptions of their personality that supposedly are tailored specifically for them, that are in fact vague and general enough to apply to a wide range of people. This effect can provide a partial explanation for the widespread acceptance of some paranormal beliefs and practices such as astrology, fortune telling, aura reading, and some types of personality test.
Yeah. So, if I was to say to you, you really don't look after yourself enough.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, most people are going to go, yeah.
I should get more sleep, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right, man. Flipping heck, you're a genius.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Give us your Dutch. But it can be that kind of thing. So I've written down some examples there. Like, you'd like people to accept and like you.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and sometimes you give too much effort on the projects you're working on.
I do. Like this one at the moment, man. It's just taking... It's consuming me. Yeah, you're right. I need to chill out.
Yeah. You prefer things to change, but you don't like to be limited in what you can do, do you?
You're right. That is very... That's so me. It's like you've written this just for me.
But all these phrases...
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. They're all the same.
You can be overly harsh on yourself and very self-critical. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, I do. Yeah, and it's that kind of stuff. And the Barnum Effect for me, from a psychological point of view, it's like, should you read your stars? Well, yes, you should, because the Barnum Effect means that you will read into the description what you need to see.
Why is it called the Barnum Effect?
Because Barnum was the guy that did the circuses, and he was all like sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And how could he make you believe what he wanted you to believe?
And so what was his... He had a famous-ish quote. Oh, I can't even remember if I've written it down. There's a sucker born every minute or something.
Oh, right,
like that.
Yeah.
So you kind of...
Which means that,
it's pretty...
Yeah. Which is... is kind of true, you know. And all you've got to do is go into, and I think you should do this just for fun, is that if you go into a garage and you start looking at a car.
Which I would never do now, of course.
Of course, yeah. But you should just do it for fun.
No one else should, obviously, as well. But yeah, carry on.
Do it for fun. and let the salesman come out and start selling to you. And if you watch a good salesman, a salesman is a good Barnum practitioner. And will make you feel really special and really good, and this car is just so much for you. And all the time they're fishing to get things out of you so that the next paragraph comes in and makes the car even more appropriate to your needs.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And once you hear that and you identify with it, then you're in, you know. And the thing is that you love the salesman because the salesman has been so appropriate to you, and he said things that made you feel so special, and, you know. Yeah. It's easy to make it sound like it's all negative, but feeling good about yourself isn't negative.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, so rather than going down the route of you being played all the time and you're being taken advantage of, there are positives to the Barnum effect.
Yeah, I will go into Oki Health, and I will go in and I will gab with the team about things that are socially important to them. They may be completely meaningless to me, but I will engage with them. So, and it's not lying, it's just engagement. So that they then feel like I am into what they're into. And a good communicator, if you're a physical kind of person, and a good communicator will make them feel like they're one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you're a social person, the same communicator would change the language so that you feel that they're one of you.
Yeah.
And if you're an intellectual or emotional, you know, it's like a good communicator can speak in a language that resonates with the person they're speaking to.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that a lot at the moment, because the new business that I'm involved in or created is very much about behaviour change. And basically, my goal is to drastically reduce the level of car journeys on Wirral initially, which is a crazy thing to even try and do, as I'm finding. But, you know, I've realised quite early on that being that angry cyclist guy who bangs on windows and puts out cones and shouts at people for parking on the yellow lines, that kind of thing, it's not the right way to go, because it's not going to build me any friends and followers. Whereas, you know, if I adjust my language a little bit, and focus on other key areas. And one of them is a school project where we're kind of looking at traffic around schools, and generally everyone agrees that the traffic around schools is a nightmare. It's unhealthy, it's polluted, et cetera, you know. So focusing on that, on the health of kids, is a much gentler way in, because immediately got a lot of people on side, because everyone agrees that traffic's bad and more people need to walk and cycle to school, yada, 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 yada. So it's that behaviour change type thing, isn't it?
But the thing is that you change people's behaviour by feeding them the positive, not feeding them the negative.
Mm.
You know, and it's the thing about when we were closing the psyche hospitals, I went over and over it again with the management and the health authority. It's like, if you're going to close a ward, you don't go in and say, we're going to close your ward. What you do is you work out what you're going to do with all those people on the ward, and you explain to them what's going to happen to them. So now they're looking forward to something. They're not mourning a loss. They've got the expectation of a birth.
Yep.
Yeah. Trying to get that through was like banging your head on a rock, because they'd keep doing it again and again and again. And all they did was demotivate the staff, put the staff into bereavement and grief and fear and anxiety and loss and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my God, just look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give people a reason to do something which is positive.
Okay.
Not negative.
In terms of it's when people realise that they've been played, let's say, for example, with horoscopes, which, you know, as a kid I used to read in the back of the newspaper, horoscopes, and kind of identify with it. I remember as a kind of teenager thinking, yeah, that's right, that's right. And you get a little bit of a positive kick. What happens when people realise that maybe they're listening to this now and they realise they're being played?
It depends on how it's written, doesn't it? If the horoscope was to say, you're going to have the best day ever of your life, the chances are that's not going to happen. And then you can feel. But if the horoscope said today's going to be a really positive day because you're going to learn a lot of things today. Yeah. Now that's true for everybody, and that whatever happens to us today, even if negative things happen to us today, we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are statements that you can make that have a global truth. So then you can review your day from that statement. You can think, yeah, I learned that. I learned not to do that. I learned that that person is a total and utter bastard and I don't want anything to do with them anymore. I mean, you can look at what you learned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's to do with the way things are said, but also things have a universal truth. And like most, if you said to most people, you don't look after yourself enough, yeah, that would resonate with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there'd be some fat sleuths lying on a sofa somewhere, but think, hey, I just look after myself all the time. You know, it would depend, wouldn't it?
Mm.
You know, but I mean, most people actually don't look after themselves enough. You know, and it's like the thing about, you were just showing me a video earlier on about how the American world changed. And the thing is that I'll drive to Birmingham and to do some work. Right, but I'll only drive to Birmingham because I can drive to Birmingham. If I couldn't get to Birmingham, I wouldn't go to Birmingham to do the work. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that idea that the world has expanded hugely because we can move around it, is it a good thing or a bad thing? You could argue that both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah? Where we are on the Wirral, people couldn't get to Liverpool unless they got on a boat. Now there are two tunnels, you can just drive backwards and forwards. It takes like 15 minutes to get to Liverpool.
And a bridge at the year down.
Yeah.
Or two. Yeah.
And it would have taken hours.
Yeah, and that has opened up a lot of opportunity, obviously, and connection and integration, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yeah. But as we're talking, we're actually using the Barnum effect because people will listen to this. And they're and
people some, actually listening to this right now.
And they are.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. But it's like people that listen to this, it's either going to resonate with them, and they go, "Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, 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 yeah." Or they're going to say, "What do you mean?"
Yeah.
And that's the issue with the Barnum effect with the horoscope is that if you word it right, so you could say. Creating the tunnels to Liverpool has been a really fabulous idea because it's given us that connectivity. But the downside is it's increased the amount of traffic and the pollution that's going on between us. Like, both those things are real, and both those things most people can identify with and go, yeah, yeah, I get what you mean.
Mm.
Yeah? As opposed to saying, we should stop all the cars going through the tunnels, you know, because that creates the wrong, doesn't have that good Barnum effect.
Yeah, so with my environmental obsession, there's a group called Extinction Rebellion, which is, it's not really owned by anyone. Someone started up a group and it's spread globally now. But there's a Wirral chapter and a Liverpool chapter of Extinction Rebellion, and these people there are, I haven't been to a meeting yet, but I probably will go and have a look at what's going on. Taking pretty decisive action and getting people angry in what they do, so they will go to at an intersection in Liverpool or on Wirral for a set time, and they will lie down in the road for 5 minutes to stop all the traffic, and they'll wave banners around. And then I've seen videos of the one in Liverpool, so it does create this kind of tension because people get out of the cars and say, "What are you doing? This isn't going to change anything." Blah 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 blah. And they're really polite. They're obviously trained to kind of be really polite and say, "Look, we're really sorry about this short-term disruption. Did you realise that there's going to be massive social disruption unless we do this, that, and the other to fix our sustainability issues?" But I haven't figured out yet whether or not it's a positive thing to do. I think from their point of view, and for the people, they're at the end of their tether, so I can understand.
Mm.
We've got to do something, man. We've got to get the message out there some way. But is it an effective way to get a message across or not?
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is that for some people it will be, and for other people it won't.
Mm.
Yeah, so we start to get into that idea is the way that we're communicating effective?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we know quite a few vegan people, and people that are, because we had Jodie on, who is, you know, is powerfully, we should all be vegan. And my thing is, if you want the world to become vegan, the Barnum effect is to create something which is so fabulous that people would want to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, then people wouldn't be worried about not eating meat because this food would be so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you bang the drum and keep saying, everyone that eats meat should be murdered,
you're
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Killing.
All you do is create more negativity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's exhausting, but it's fascinating.
But the whole thing about propaganda is the Barnum effect. And if you look at the messages that were put out about... Because we're looking at positive messages here when we're reading out those ones there. But what about if we start to read out the kind of negative messages that were put out about things like immigration and stuff like that?
Mm.
That's the Barnum effect as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. So psychology of communication, advertising, propaganda.
I know, and I think about it in terms of technology and services like Netflix or YouTube or Amazon, where you get these seemingly personalised emails. To a small amount they probably are, because they're kind of Netflix knows what kind of movie you watch, so they might serve up that. But from what I've read, I'm going to link to a medium.com article about it, it's not as personalised as you might think, and basically, you know, you're all getting the same email as 10 million others. But just by having that thing in the email itself or in the subject that says, Edward, these movies have been personally selected just for you.
You kind of get
this kind of warm, fuzzy feeling.
Hey, Sean.
They really care.
They know me. Yeah.
I should upgrade my subscription to Netflix. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And same with email marketing. Well, from Amazon, I know they do spend a lot of money split testing emails and what works to a certain group. And then if it works, they'll blast it out to another.
Yeah.
However many hundreds of millions of people. Raking in the cash.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There you go. Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say on this one, or should we go to the resource?
I'm okay. I mean, I think that the thing I'd end with is that if you become aware of the Barnum effect, and you become aware, like, you know, you read your horoscope, you know, it's not bad to feel good.
Mm.
And if you read your horoscope and it gives you positive motivation for the day, enjoy the Barnum effect.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Don't kind of knock it down and say, this must be a load of rubbish. Because everybody that reads the same words in that horoscope will see a different meaning in it, because the meaning will be appropriate to them.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I don't like using the car analogy because I hate cars. But if you are in the market for a car and you're in that, you're going into showrooms and you're being sold to, or let's say a bed or a furniture showroom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry too much about that pushy salesman that might be, you know that he's playing you and you know he wants his commission. Just enjoy it. And
yeah, no, I get that. Just enjoy the experience.
You need a sofa, you know, just...
Yeah.
Go with it and pick the sofa that you actually like and let him enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
Get the sofa. Win-win, innit? You know?
It's fun.
Don't hide in the corner and wait for him to kind of turn his back and then...
Yeah.
What's your resource then, John?
I've got a website to go and visit, which is howtogetyourownway.com. And it talks about the Barnum effect. And how by giving people those kinds of sentences, you get people into the right mood to get what you need.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other thing that I'd stick in it as a resource alongside that is my very first book, which is still available, which is called The Frog Snogger's Guide.
Mm.
And the snogging was the communication. So if you get the communication right, then the frog turns into a prince or a princess for you.
Cool.
Which is the whole kind of Barnum thing. So it's really about the Barnum effect.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. Mine's a movie I've just seen, Green Book, which is a bit of a Hollywood flick about a security guy played by Viggo Mortensen, who was Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
All right.
I forget the guy he plays alongside. But basically this Italian-American tough guy has to chaperone a black musician in the 50s America through...
Oh, I saw a write-up on
through
that.
Through the deep
south. Yeah.
And it's just a really fascinating, beautiful little...
Yeah.
It's a love story, really, about these two guys that are kind of from opposite ends of the world and have to come together.
Yeah.
So,
I'll have to watch that one.
Really beautiful little film. Highly recommended. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. If you would like us to discuss a topic in particular, send us a message. through social media, and we'll schedule it in.
We will indeed.
And we'll see you next week, won't we?
We will indeed.
Okay. See you guys.
See you. Bye.